and welcome to the PSBA podcast. My name is Jabobi Shafiq and I am a helpline care navigator for PSBA. We took a short break from producing podcasts to get feedback about the type of topics we would want to cover. And resoundingly, people fed back to us that they wanted the voices of people living with PSP and CBD to be better heard in this podcast. So that's why now we've broadened out the podcast. Instead of just appealing to carers, we would now like to cover topics that will be of interest to everyone also affected by PSP and CBD. So in the first episode of a Reshaped podcast, we are talking to Gilda. So Gilda is living with a diagnosis of CBD, and today Gilda is going to share with us details of her symptoms, diagnosis, and how CBD has impacted her daily living, and to see if she has any new hobbies to help keep her active. Welcome, Gilda.
Welcome. Thank you very much. I'm thrilled to be doing this podcast today.
No, I'm glad to have you here today. So just a couple of questions that I have for you today, just to see your experience of CBD and how it has affected your life. So to just start delving into your diagnosis journey, could you just tell us a little bit about the symptoms you were experiencing before your diagnosis?
Before my diagnosis, I was a touch typist, and I found with my right arm, I couldn't touch type anymore. That was the first giveaway for me personally, but also stairs were a bone of contention as well, and my balance was affected. So about 3 years ago, I noticed the symptoms, and I went to visit my GP. Nothing else besides that, though. Touch typing and balance and a bit of anxiousness as well.
Okay, and then how long would you say it took you to reach out to your GP after experiencing these symptoms?
I first experienced the symptoms in 2020 and reached out to my GP in 2022.
Okay, and do you remember what your GP's initial thoughts were about your symptoms?
He wasn't sure about my symptoms, and he suggested that I go privately because the NHS waiting list was so long. So I went privately to get the diagnosis, and I went to see Dr. Piers Newman in the first instance, and then he more or less said cortical basal degeneration in not so many words.
Do you remember the timeline of how long it took you when you went private up to meeting your consultant and then getting the diagnosis?
Right, it was about 6 months, I think, from start to finish. I went to see a doctor, another consultant, Dr. Sanjita Scotland, who diagnosed me after Dr. Piers Newman.
So, and during the time whilst you could see your symptoms developing, but you didn't have an answer of what was wrong, how did that impact you and your family?
Greatly, greatly, because I was very anxious and stressed about it. And I was working for my brother at the time, and the person I was taking over from said, you'll have to type quicker if you want this to be done. And she put immense pressure on me to type quicker. But I knew I was failing because I couldn't get my right arm to work. I had previously breast cancer on the right side, and I was operated on and I had radiotherapy. But I thought it was linked to that in the first place.
So when you did receive a diagnosis of CBD, how did you first feel? I mean, did you ever hear of CBD before? No, did your consultant give you any information?
No, not at all. And Dr. Sangeet Scotton was really good, and she explained it, but I was devastated, absolutely devastated by the prognosis.
And at what point were you signposted onto PSPA or found the charity through online searches?
I think I found the charity by online searches. Nobody gave me that website address at all. I just found it myself.
And how did you feel when you first got in contact with PSPA?
Lovely. They were so inspiring for me and helped me along the way. And especially Kathy. She's lovely.
She is. No, she's great. She's a box of knowledge. She is.
Yes, she.
What would you say? What PSPA support services have you used since joining us?
I've used the voice banking, and you gave me a grant for that, so I could get my voice banked for the future if I need to, and also. My husband worked for the charity as well. He did a 20-mile walk with the dog, and he raised over £1,000 for the charity.
Oh wow, that is brilliant! Mm-hmm. 20 miles is a lot. I think.
Yeah.
I think I would. No, that is great to hear. And what difference has the charity's support made to you and
immense.
as a family?
Yeah, immense. Because I got in contact with Kathy, and she signed it, posting me to other things that I need, other services. She guided me and supported me along the way. I found her help invaluable.
How did you find access to healthcare support in your area?
Murderous, to be truthful. It's a minefield. If you don't get help and support from either the Citizens Advice or Age UK, you don't stand a chance, really. It's a minefield out there. But my consultant at my last appointment in August said she's going to assign me a Parkinson's nurse, and the wait for that is 4 to 5 months. And also I have been to my local hospice and I had an assessment last week, and I'm going back there for some alternative therapies.
So did you feel like it was difficult to get access to a physiotherapist or an occupational therapist? I know you previously mentioned the waiting times were quite long. And how did you feel like this impacted you?
It gravely impacted me because I wasn't able to get the answers to my questions. The community neuro rehab team, my neurophysiotherapist got in touch with them from Gaboin Hospital for me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about the community neuro rehab team.
Is there anything else you've been involved in, Gilda, in regards to with research with PSP or CBD?
I've been to London College University Hospital in London and taken part in the clinical trials there, which involved cognitive tests all morning and then a lumbar puncture in the afternoon and skin tissue samples, three of those, and I gave a lot of blood as well. But any research to help anybody for the future.
And how did that make you feel, taking part in research?
It was tiring because we had to go from my home at 5 o'clock in the morning and we didn't get back till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So it was very tiring. Yeah.
Did you feel like it was rewarding taking part in the research?
Relating. Yeah, I was very rewarding for me. Yeah, very rewarding.
Well, that's great to hear, Gilda. I am glad that you took part in research, and hopefully there does come a point where we do get a treatment or a cure for PSP or CBD in the future. And now that we've talked a little bit about how CBD has impacted your life, what are some of the things that you feel like you've had to give up?
I've had to give up my yoga, which I loved very dearly. I used to go to the gym every week as well. I can't do that anymore. I walk every day, come rain or shine. And I walk between 3 to 5 miles every day if I can, with the help of my husband.
Oh, wow. So you're very active.
I try to be. Yeah, I try to be.
No, that's amazing to hear. And I know we just spoke about some hobbies that you've had to give up. But yeah. Are there any new hobbies that you have picked up since receiving your diagnosis?
I love walking, so I continue to walk as much as possible, and we visit National Trust properties and walk there as much as possible.
Do you feel like this has helped with your CBD and how it has had an impact on you?
Definitely. I've also read The Salt Path, which was by Raynor Wynne. And that inspired me to do more, because her husband, Moth, had CBD. He's still alive now and still walks every day. The more he walks, the better he feels.
Is there any National Trust sites that you would recommend that are well accessible if any of our listeners would like to visit?
Well accessible is Dunham Massey, which I've been to. I think that's in Stafford. And also Attingham Park at Shrewsbury. I've visited those on a number of occasions. Really accessible for the disabled people as well.
Thank you for that, Gilda. Do you have any advice you'd like to share with anyone living with PSP or CBD about how maintaining some of your lifestyle whilst living with the condition?
My motto is, if you don't use it, you'll lose it. So that's what I would say to fellow sufferers. And also, get your house in order. Don't leave everything to the last minute. And if you're having neurophysiotherapy, continue to do all the exercises as much as possible.
So do you continue to do your exercises? Yes,
religiously every day. Yeah.
And do you feel like they're helping you?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
And I know you just previously mentioned about having adjustments made to the house. Is that a step that you've taken as well, to be planned for the future?
Yes. We're just in the middle of moving. We sold our house, we're moving into a bungalow. And I'm going to have a wet room installed there, so to help me by the community neuro rehab team. And I've also got a step outside because this drop was too large, so they put that in for me. And they're also going to get me a purpose-built stool so I can rest on it. And also a wheeled two trays on wheels so I can get things out of the microwave when my husband isn't here.
Oh, that's lovely to hear, Gilda. It seems like, you know, you have really thought about the future and planning ahead. And hopefully you move go swiftly and you really enjoy your new bungalow. But finally, at PSPA, we've launched a new strategy which focuses on improving quality of life, raising awareness of PSP and CBD among healthcare professionals, and we are continuing to invest in research. From your personal perspective, Gilda, what are your hopes for the future?
My hopes for the future are that CBD is more widely talked about, because with MND, motor neurons disease, we've got all the publicity with that rugby player at the moment. I take my hat off to him. I don't know what his name is, and also his fellow rugby player has been donating money for the charity. I would like PSP and CBD to be more widely talked about, and the healthcare care professionals to know more as well.
And hopefully we will get there one day.
Yeah, definitely.
With all the ongoing research, and hopefully that, you know, we do come a point in the future where PSP and CBD is more heard about.
I'd like to think there would be a cure in the future and stop it in its tracks, hopefully, and medication to help stop the disease in its tracks. I dream and I wish this for the future. Yeah.
No, I completely agree with you there, Gilda. Hopefully, you know, more awareness is spread for PSP and CBD. And as a charity, that is our main aim, as well as getting more research done and raising awareness. But no, Gilda, it has been a pleasure talking to you today.
Thank you.
And thank you for sharing your experience of your symptoms, diagnosis, and how you live with the condition. It has been very interesting, and I'm sure in some way reassuring to some of our listeners out there. You perhaps will have a similar experience to you.
Thank you.
To our listeners, we would like to share details of life living with PSP too. If you and a family member or friend would like to come and chat about your experiences, please do get in touch with us by emailing communications@PSPassociation.org.uk. And for future topics for upcoming podcasts, will include why it can be so difficult to diagnose PSP and CBD, as well as a roundtable discussion about the different types of research taking place.